things better. Now, would you write this down? God never does the impossible with somebody who just wants the conditions fixed. He never does. And Dr. Wimp, I failed at this most of my life. I didn't ask for the impossible. I just kept asking God to fix the conditions. Oh, Lord, would you take care of this? Oh, God, would you help us get some money in the account? Lord, would you handle this? And you know what all that is? That's asking God to flatten the sea. Do you understand? If the sea is flat, you still can't go water walking. But I spent my whole life asking God to fix the conditions. God does the impossible, write this down, in spite of the conditions. In spite of them. Well, David, you don't understand. My education's not all that good. That's just a condition. Yeah, but David, you don't understand. I'm getting up in silver years. Your age is just a condition, that's all. Yeah, but David, you don't understand how I've messed up before. By the way, how many of you here have messed up before like I have? Hold your hand up, will you? How many of you have made a fair number of mess-ups in your life? Hold. How many of you, like me, have made some whoppers of mess-ups? Hold your hand. How many of you are thrilled everybody doesn't know all about your mess-ups, right? Welcome to the club. But you know what? The devil knows how to bring every bit of that up. And suddenly, our mess-ups are the condition. God says, number one, I want you to ask. And number two, I want you to get your eyes off of the conditions. I say this respectfully, and I pray it's not the case here. My experience with most boards is that they're condition-focused. They want to tell you why it's not the right time. Maybe later. The conditions are not right, Brother Tice. As if to do the impossible, the conditions are ever going to get right. God says, I want you to get your eyes off of the conditions. Remember what happened? Peter's out walking, and then he puts his eyes on the conditions, and he begins to sink. God always does the impossible in spite of the conditions. In spite of them. David Bowler, pastor, Highland Park Baptist Church, told a story that gripped my heart. He said, David, it was Wednesday night. We gave an altar call. He said, a young, beautiful lady in our church just graduated from college. He said, maybe the prettiest girl in the church came walking forward. Got on her knees, and she's crying, and said, would you ask the pastor to come down and pray with me? He said, I came down front. He said, the auditorium's watching everything. And he said, I said, what do you need, Marcy? And she said, I want you to pray with me. She said, I've committed to be a missionary to the foreign field. He said, that's wonderful. He said, where are you going, Marcy? Now, he said, this little girl's about 5'2", 5'3", beautiful. She said, I'm going to the headhunters of Malaysia. He said, now, where are you going again? She said, all the missionaries pulled out 10 years ago. They were eating them. And 4 years ago, all the oil companies pulled out. They were eating the oil workers. I asked God to send me where nobody wants to go. And God laid on me the headhunters of Malaysia. David Bowler looked at her and he said, you know, I don't think those are real good conditions. Dave Bowler is a Special Forces Green Beret, has citations for bravery, over 500 of them for firefights in Vietnam. He's black belt, karate and judo. He's the international deadlift weightlifting champion for the world. Dr. Bowler said, I wouldn't go. They're eating people. Now, when he's telling the story, all I could think of was that little girl. She wouldn't, a guy like me, I could feed the village, but a little girl like that. Good night. He said, in a flash, her parents came up. And they said, preacher, will you talk some sense into her head? Will you explain to her this is crazy? The conditions are not right. They're going to eat her alive. And he said, that little girl looked up into my eyes and she said, my parents are right. The conditions are not right. But you're the pastor who taught me God can do the impossible. Please bless me. And he said, with that, she got on her knees in front of me. Dr. Bowler's a very tender man. He said, I thought this is a death sentence. And he said, when I didn't move my hand, she said, please, Pastor, I serve the God of the impossible. And he said, I reached out and put my hand on her head and said, God bless her. He said, for 30 days before she left, I was in agony. She came to see me twice, and she said, preacher, please, don't remind me of how impossible it is. Everybody's doing it. Remind me how great God is. He said, the only way to get her up into the highlands, there's no trails, is they take them up by helicopter. They have to rappel down 150 feet. This girl never rappelled in her life. Took a quick course in how to rappel. And he said, we sent her on the way with a couple and two ladies from our church just to see her off. They flew to the place where they were to drop her, and the agreement was they would drop her down. No one would go with her. No one. They dropped down two huge gunny sacks full of her stuff. And they put the clips on, and she's ready to go. And a granddad chopper pilot, a man with years and years of experience, turned around and he said, young lady, I'll be back in 60 days to pick you up, but you won't be here. He said, my prayer for you is that they kill you quick. Are you sure you want to go? And I said, with that, she hooked the last one on, and she said, I'm sure. And out the door she went. The people in the chopper said as they flew away, here was this little speck of a girl standing and picking up two huge sacks, and all she had was God. David Bowler said, I never prayed for hard for 2 months in my life. Woke up all night praying for Marcy. He said, just prayed and prayed. And the choppers were back 60 days later. And lo and behold, in the clearing was the little girl with her converts. What no one knew was that in this area for 600 years they had a legend, and nobody knew it, that one day a female God would come out of the sky. And the legend was they were supposed to worship her. And when she walked into the woods, they started bowing and calling her a God. And she said, no, I'm not a God, but I'm from him, and you're to listen to me. They also did not understand these tribes only ate men, not women, and nobody knew it. Do you not understand, young lady, the conditions aren't right? What would it take for you to, number one, ask, and number two, get your eyes off of the conditions? Number three, we're almost done. You got to ask. You got to get your eyes off of the conditions. And number three, it's in the story. Brother Tice, you and I are going to go water walking, okay? Here's the edge of the boat. We're up here, and Lord, we want to go water walking. Could you come this way a little bit? Just mosey over here. Now, here's why. There's a big lesson. Listen. I want to get out of the boat, and I want to go water walking. I want the Lord to come this way, because just in case it doesn't work out, I want to grab that boat, because I love a plan B. Would you write this down? God never does the impossible with somebody who's got a plan B. Your plan B is an insult to God. My faith's in you, Jesus, but just in case you don't come through, I got me a plan B. In fact, here's my problem. I'm the kind of guy that not only has a plan B, I got a B, C, D, E, and F. In case that don't work, this is what we'll do. And if that don't work, this is... You know what the Bible calls that? Double-minded. And you read James 1, you know what it says? Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. God's looking for somebody willing to step out with no plan B. Oh, yeah, but now wait a minute, David. We can't trust God like that. Well, if you can't trust him like that, why would you trust him at all? He's promised. And if this promise is no good, how good's the one to go to heaven? You got to ask. You got to get your eyes off of the conditions. And you have got to get rid of your plan B. Boy, has that been hard for me. Because by nature, I'm a plan B guy. Preacher, case this don't work out, don't worry, I got me a plan B in the briefcase. And God says, let not that David gives think he shall receive anything. Write the fourth condition down. It's in the story. Number one, you got to ask. Number two, you got to get your eyes off of the condition. Number three, you got to get rid of your plan B. And by the way, when he started this church, there was no plan B. He didn't have anything to make a plan B out of. That's right. And that's how you do. But then one day, you have enough that you can start thinking plan B, and suddenly you're done with the impossible. Because now we can plan B it. What would it take to be where you're going to ask God for what's laughably no plan B could ever cover? You got to ask. You got to get your eyes off the conditions. You got to drop the contingency plans. And then number four, you got to step out. You got to get out of the boat. Read the last part. It's in the story. Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Verse 29, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. You know what most people want? They don't want out of the boat. They want a better seat in the boat. And one man stepped over the edge. And here he goes, water walking, doing the impossible. Would you be willing to step out? I love what that little girl said. Sweetest part of the story, I think. The chopper pilot, with tears in his eyes, looked at her and he said, I'm old enough to be your granddad. This is breaking my heart. He looked at her one last time and he said, you won't be back. I will, but you won't. He said, do you understand? You're not coming back. You know what that little girl told the pilot? She said, you don't understand. I don't have to come back. I only have to go. And out the door she went. I don't have to come back. I only have to go. I see you guys. I'm going water walking. And over the edge he went. Would you ask? Stop asking God to fix the conditions. Get your eyes off of them. That's what I've done my whole life, is ask God to continually keep fixing conditions. get rid of your plan B. Jesus, my faith's in you, plus nothing. Don't have to do it anymore in our ministry, but Brother Dave, we had a time when we went out by faith and didn't have the money for gas to come back. And one time we got in my Dodge Dart. How many of you remember a Dodge Dart? I put four lawyers in a Dodge Dart with me, and we did not have money to get there. And as we drove off, I said, Lord, we're going to run out of gas. But I'm going over the side. And I ran that down till it was on E and drove on E for 40 miles. And finally I said, you know what? We're not going to make it. So we might as well pull in a gas station here because we're going to be walking. And I pulled in and I sat there, and one lawyer in the back seat, he looked at me and he said, now you did it. You told us God would get us there. And the minute he said that, I heard, pow! We all turned around. A guy had taken a gas pump handle and slammed it on the ground. Mad as a hornet. We got out of the car and he's kicking the thing. I said, what are you doing? He said, I accidentally on my credit card punched in the wrong amount. And I can't get the last 30 gallons in my car and they won't give me the money. And he said, I'm so confounded, mad at him, and he's kicking. He said, you want the gas? Y'all pardon me. I'm getting out of the boat. Would you ask? Get your eyes off the conditions. Get rid of your plan B. And then get ready. You got to step out. Bow your heads in prayer, Father. Oh, thank you. This night, America needs some Christians that are water walkers. You're the God. You said, ask and you shall receive. You're the one that said, ask of me and I'll show you great and mighty things. Father, forgive us where we've not asked. Heads bowed, nobody looking. How many of you say, David, God spoke to my heart tonight. And God helping me, I want to do the impossible. Hold your hand up right now. I'm going to ask the piano to quietly pray. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out of your seat and come to this altar. It is time to ask right now. The piano plays, you come. Mom, for those kids, why wouldn't you ask the impossible? Dad, for your family, for your life, for your ministry, why wouldn't you ask the impossible? Or do you just want to waste your life asking for something great that people could do without God? Father, tonight, it's not just our knees that are bowed, it's our hearts. Our spirits. And tonight we're asking. Asking for you through us, for your honor, for your glory, to do the impossible. Forgive us where we haven't asked before. And God, we don't have to ask for just one thing. Your word says you'd never upbraid us for asking. And Father, tonight before you, we're getting our eyes off the conditions. You don't have to fix any of the conditions. Let the storm howl. And God, we got no plan B. Our faith's in you. And God, we're going to step out. But right now, we're asking. Father, answer the cry of every heart, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Oh, how I pray tonight that the God of the impossible would do through us, his children, the impossible. Answer our heart's cry in Jesus' name. Amen. When you're done praying, and only when you're done, make your way back to your seat. Pastor Gass preached just a short while ago. Some of you here did something that I identify with greatly, because I remember the service I raised my hand in, and I said, I'm not sure that I'm going to heaven. I knew all about being saved. I'd watched thousands of other people get saved, but I wasn't sure I was saved. And then a man walked up to me whose name I won't know until I get to heaven. And he just said some simple words. He said, David, don't go to hell for what people think. And then he walked off. And I thought, I can't imagine, but he's right. I'm going to go to hell because I'm worried what somebody thinks. And they said, raise your hand if you're not sure. And I thought, I can't raise my hand. I got 500 pounds on my elbow. I can't do it. But you know what? By God's grace, I did do it, and it started a change that changed my whole life. And a few minutes ago, just a few of you raised your hand and said, I'm not sure. When Brother Gass prayed, you prayed with him. And I want you to do something right now. You see, I raised my hand before. I want to know heaven's my home. I prayed that prayer. And I'd like to let you know I prayed that prayer. I want to invite you right now. No one's looking, just me. I'm going to ask every other eye to be closed. And here's what I'm asking. Would you just get out of your seat and come up here and let us pray with you here? You'll be back in your seat in mere moments. I promise you, everyone here who knows the Lord would be thrilled to see you do this. Thrilled. You say, but I'm afraid. That's the devil trying to anchor you down. I raised my hand when he asked who would like to know Christ, because I prayed that prayer with them. Then I want you just quietly to get up out of your seat and come up here right now. Let's all stand together, every head bowed, every eye closed. Boy, I raised my hand. Jesus asked him to save me. Then would you right now, just with every head bowed, just step out right this moment where you're seated and come to this altar. I'd like for Brother Gass to personally get to pray with you, for the pastors of this church. We'll wait for you right now. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. Just step out and come right now. I don't know who you are, but just step out and come. Here's one. God bless you. Where's the next one? I raised my hand. Oh, listen, don't let the devil anchor you down. Don't let him do it. I promise you, you'll never regret coming to this altar. Every head bowed. Pastor Tice, in my life, I've never had one person say to me, I regret I went to the altar. I've never. But by the hundreds, I've had people say, if only. If only I'd have gone to the altar in that service. Would you come right now? David, I'm not sure. Boy, I'd like to know. I prayed that prayer with Brother Gass. Just step out and come. You'll be back in your seat in mere seconds. But what you do can make an eternal difference. Would you come? Anyone else? Oh, boy, I'm praying for you. I promise you, Brother Gass and Brother Tice are praying for you. Would you step out and come right now? Anyone at all? This is more important than who you marry, or what you do for a living, or where you go to live. Eternity, your address forever, is tied to that prayer. Would you let us pray for you, and would you come? Anyone at all? Father, thank you for this one who did come. And God, I pray for the others. I don't know who they are, who so graciously lifted their hand. Father, I pray they'd come before this service is over and seek out Pastor Gass and Pastor Tice and the dear pastors of this church. Oh, Father, this is the most important thing anyone ever does in life, and it governs eternity. May they, I pray, not leave here till they've made a profession of that faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated.